The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
And welcome to Planet Gridiron Radio on Voice America Sports, a leader in internet media. It's been a great week, 2 weeks. Day 14 of the Olympics, and of course we're going to talk about Olympics because that's pretty much all that's going on. We've got football that's starting, and we've got some interesting stories that's happening in football. But first, before we get into the Olympics here, let me introduce my guest today. We got Brian Harper from Alabama. Brian, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How's everybody doing?
Everyone's good. It's just me today. Dave's going to be a little late, and little Roland started school, so it's just me in the studio today. So it's me and you for a while until Dave gets here. Yeah.
No problem. We got over down. We're good.
All right. Hey, have you been watching the Olympics, keeping up on the Olympics, the medal counts?
Very much so. I'm a sports, I am definitely sports through and through. Definitely proud of our women's volleyball team. Of course, men's basketball, track.
Well, our men's basketball, if they don't win a gold, they shouldn't be let back in the country, huh?
That's true. I'm real impressed with fencing. I've watched it all, man. Gymnastics, everything.
You're watching. Yeah, are you watching the medal count? Are you watching the medal count?
I think what's so weird was just this past, I guess over the weekend, I think we're down by like 5 medals, and now we're up by, if I'm correct, up by like by 20 medals, I think.
No, I would say about 9. We're up by 9 medals now. China was ahead of us for a while, but the only reason China was ahead of us is because they make all the equipment.
That and track and field hadn't finished taking place. So,
exactly. Yeah, it's been real exciting for me. I've really enjoyed the Olympics, and to be honest with everyone, this is the first time I've really looked at the Olympics or sat and watched the Olympics since 1976, you know, when Sugar Ray Leonard, I think, was boxing in the Olympics, and Bruce Jenner was in it. Yeah, you know, this is the first time I've ever watched.
I think I took a strong notice when Flo Jo,
Not
a part of here, was in it. Of course, me being a young man, looking at a beautiful, light-skinned woman, ripped up, got me interested in the Olympics, and then I just started falling from there, Barcelona, Atlanta. Atlanta, so I was just very, that was the one that kind of...
You know what really got me? Last night I saw, and I put this out, you know, on the lines, it was like BMX in the Olympics, really? What happened to baseball, softball? BMX, you know, BMX is a sport, and BMX, you know, it you know, short run course. I think what they run a minute or something like that. I think that is a sport, and it probably belongs in the Olympics. You know, I mean, those guys do what they do, but you know, just as we have basketball, I think we should have some baseball. But you know, on the other hand, as I say that, I'm thinking of the World Baseball Tournament also, where you know they're already playing. You know, they're already playing, and
they're playing your best over there, so that's kind of hard.
Yeah, and then to get the really good players to play in the Olympics would be really hard. It would be a true amateur team, and it wouldn't really represent the best of the United States, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, I guess, now softball is another animal. I think softball, there are no professional softball teams, I don't think, unless they're traveling sideshows.
We had it. You know, we had it at one point. We had women's softball in the Olympics, and then the last Olympics 4 years ago, I think we lost to Korea on a strikeout, and that was the last time Jeannie Finch and everybody were able to have the sport of softball, unfortunately.
Right, and I think they should put it back in. But you know, Brian, you know, we talk about baseball and softball, and even with basketball, and as we as we talk about it and we look at basketball and we see who's on the team for the United States, do you think it's fair? Do you think it's right? Do you think we should send our professional players to the Olympics, or do you think it should be all amateur players, you know, from colleges or even high schools?
I think right now, I don't see if you're an Olympian, and we've always associated the Olympians to being the best representing your country, and we would be kind of, in a sense, lying to ourselves that we didn't send the best players. So,
well,
I think right
the
now,
best amateur players, you know, your best amateur players, you know, and that should be an Olympic rule, you know, straight across the board worldwide, you know, your best amateur players.
But then you would have to go, like, to all your sports. And, I mean, that would cut out a lot with people concerning gymnastics.
Why? Are they professionals? I mean, can they receive money for performing?
Yeah, anybody. When you get endorsements and everything like that, you can start. Yeah, you're getting endorsements and everything for winning medals and everything. So, yeah, these people are professionals.
But these boxers don't turn pro until they come out of the Olympics. You know, if you're, I think that it should be the display of true, well, I don't know, you know, true amateur athletes. That's what I think, and amateurs around the world. But then you have sports. Go ahead.
But I'm saying, but if you're going to use boxing to turn these guys, like you said, as soon as they're done, they turn pro. So the only thing that's different in that is the title at a certain point. At that point,
right.
Talking about the title, if they're amateur or pro. I mean, these guys, if you're going over there representing the Olympics, I promise you, you would put them in a what we would consider a boxing gym, and they probably like run circles around these guys. And I'm sure would run circles around what you would consider an amateur. And I think that would be no matter what country you went to. When you look at fencing, man, that guy from Italy, there was nothing amateur about that guy's game. So I just think the Olympiad, as they say, you're sending your best to represent a country. And some teams and stuff have people who are younger than others. But essentially, like, when you look at them, they're the best. And whether they not get it that year, 4 years later, when China and or whomever then, or Russia, when those girls mature, those girls are professionals.
Mm-hmm. And they do make money. They have endorsements. Now, see, you know, that's another thing. You've got these shot putters and discus throwers, you know, the heavy guys. You know, they're living on the verge of poverty, some in poverty, you know, just trying to make the Olympics, you know, trying to fulfill their dream as being an athlete. You know, should there be some sort of pool, or should there be something to compensate these guys? Should they get paid? You know, should the United States pay? If you make the team, we'll cut you a check for $30,000 or something. If you win, you get, I know they get paid, but I mean, should there be some sort of support for our Olympian athletes?
I totally think so. No matter what country you're from, millions of viewers, millions and millions of viewers, tune in from all over the world to watch these different countries go at it, and you're making astounding money off the ratings. And I know the United States in itself is a different beast, but there are other countries that are broadcasting it who have sponsors to have their state stuff viewed. So I think if someone's saying they're out putting their body on the line, representing their country for some sort of pride in the middle, yeah, I think you should pay them.
I agree with you. You know, not only sponsorship, but ticket sales at multiple venues, you know.
All right.
I think there's money to compensate these athletes.
Yeah, because tickets aren't cheap. I mean, and so to sit and say, to hear whether somebody's in foreclosure or some are taken from their families at a very young age to train. By all means, you need to pay for them. You need to do something for the families.
And then you can justify the tax on the gold medals and the silver medals, and plus the money, the prize money. You can justify the tax. It'd go on in the same package. But I think that's a very good idea. I mean, if you're going to take the best of, then that means that it's not like Russia or Cuba where if you're mm-hmm. a shot put thrower, the government's going to take care of you and you know, compensate you as you train to be a shot put thrower or discus thrower or even fence. You know, the government's, mm-hmm. hello, Dave, they're not going to compensate you here like they do over there. You know, I've got friends that are from Cuba who were percussionists. That's what they did. They got a check every month to play the drums. And, you know, we've got Brian on the line. Dave has just stepped in.
Dave has just stepped in.
Let me bring you up to speed. Dave, we're talking about the Olympics, and right now we're talking about the Olympic athletes where they are getting paid. You know, should they get paid? Should we take the best athletes, as in professional athletes, like the Dream Team,
like
the basketball
team,
or should we take the best? Should it be for all amateur athletes?
Okay, it all depends on what school that you buy into. Are we trying to see the best athletes, regardless of amateurism versus professional? Or are we saying, hey, this, what was the spirit of why we put these games together? Which was initially, you would think, for amateur purposes and amateur reasons permit a platform for them.
And with that thought, as in taking the, as we take our best, we have athletes, shot putters, the heavy guys in some of the other events that are living in poverty.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Living in poverty.
Yeah, bankruptcy.
So we're saying, you know, maybe they should get paid, you know, with ticket sales and sponsors and television and all that, you know.
Perhaps stipends?
Right, you know, pay them so that they can train and take care of their families, you know.
Yes.
Here in the U.S., it's an option. You know, you either become an athlete and your family starves, or you go to work and not be an athlete.
Or you try to split the difference like Harper did, the silver medalist and former gold medalist. Well, not when you win a gold medal, you're never a former, but former champion and Olympic medalist in 2008 who won the 100 hurdles.
Uh-huh.
She worked three jobs.
Right.
Three
she's
jobs.
Killing herself.
Yeah, killing herself.
Not like Russia. I don't know if Russia still does it, but then you got Cuba.
I say this all the time, and kind of changing, if you will. China, Cuba, communist countries, Soviet bloc. That is the way you put a sports machine together to do well at the Olympics.
Right.
You have a state or a government-funded program that identifies kids, unfortunately, and as offensive
China.
As it sounds, mm-hmm. you start identifying children that are showing an acumen or an ability to be a good athlete. You take them and you put them in an environment where they eat, sleep, dream, train.
That's what they do.
And that's exactly what they do. And it's a reason why Cuba performs, a very small country, but if you look at the medals that they win.
Per capita. Yeah.
They do extremely well.
Right.
It's comparable, really, to the United States.
Right.
China obviously has over 1 billion people. So, B-Hop, you know, Ro, you got just a ton of.
Well, I was telling Brian, the Chinese win because they make all the equipment.
And frankly, they have the program that they have, and people might not want to address it, but they cheat. They have a history of cheating. They believe in science engineering, if you know what I mean.
Like the young lady that won in the pool.
Yeah, that was just crazy.
And I told my son, I said, there's some chemical that's undetected.
Right. There's no way you're going to tell me that a 16-year-old girl is going to be able to outswim Ryan Lochte during the last 50 meters of the 400 IM.
Right.
And that's exactly what she did.
Right.
B-Hop, you got any explanation as to how that happens other than chemically enhanced?
When you look at that, you gotta go, wow.
What happened?
When I saw that happen, man, I was like, man, the future has literally arrived. I kind of felt like I was watching something out of a science fiction movie, because you know for a fact, like, there was some genetic alteration in that thing right there that just wasn't undetected. That girl looked like the bionic woman.
Right.
And it was like, I literally saw somebody that looked like they could swim faster than I could run. When I watched that.
Right.
I went in the barbershop talking about it. I said, did y'all see that? Like, that girl looked like she could literally swim faster than I could run.
Yeah.
And I'm not a slow runner at all. So,
wait a minute, aren't you 40?
40 plus, baby.
Aren't you 40?
It don't matter. I can still step.
Yeah.
Still step.
I got you, man. Daryl Green, they said he ran 4.4 at the age of 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
So
hey, did you guys see that young man last night? I think it was a triple jumper, long jumper. Harvard grad, Georgetown law degree. He was mm-hmm. roommates with Mark Zuckerberg. Is that his name? Zuckerman?
Okay.
At Harvard.
Facebook?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. Facebook guy. He was roommates at Harvard with him.
Okay.
Got a law degree from Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Is he a rower, though?
No. This is a brother. This is a long. Actually, he's from Haiti. He's from Haiti.
Okay, yeah. I'm about to say
Who is he? Brian, do you remember his name?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
You know, he did a distance.
What'd you do? What'd you do last night? What'd you do this month? You know what I mean? This guy, you know?
He got it done, as we say.
Okay.
Hey, guys,
let's take a break. Roll the music there, Mr. Engineer. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Olympics. Actually, we might have to stay on the Olympics here. Is he the fastest? We'll find out. Coming back after the break.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
Aye,
I'm starting,
hey,
I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, brought to you by Whitetails Extreme.
On this week's program, we'll have Dave Winkleman and Steve Panaz.
Hey, plus Cat Daddy Jim Crawley and Chance Orr
when we talk about midsummer fishing tactics.
And it's all brought to you by Ram at ramtrucks.com.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio on Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media. I nailed it that time, didn't I?
No, you knocked it out the park.
Hussein Bolt.
Is he the fastest?
You know he is.
Well, we know he's the fastest now.
He led up last night.
Is he the greatest? Okay, greatest.
You know what?
200 meter sprinter ever as of today's date.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Roland, why?
Because he is. He did it. Look at it. He let up. He ran across his finish line last night. He let up right before he crossed. He had more to give.
B-Hop, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I've never seen. He may be the best. He might be the most dominant athlete at his sport that we've seen in a long time. If you're going to talk about how, if you're going to talk about whatever sport you're in and how dominant you are, Usain Bolt would be one of the, I would put him in the top three of the most dominant athlete at his craft that I've seen in a long time. It's not even close. He doesn't get great starts, and he picks you up within 10 or 15 meters, and then it's not even a race. And I've never seen anything like that. Much as I would like to put Carl Lewis and me being nostalgic up in there, man, this guy is unreal. I don't think anybody wants to see this guy. No matter, like, you can go back through time and say, oh, could have we done this with against Michael Johnson or somebody like that in their prime? Man, this guy is unreal. I just ain't never seen anything like it.
You know, for my little 2 cents, I think he is the most dominant, greatest sprinter ever. It's a combination, obviously, of talent, also genetics, in light of how large he is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But combined with the fact that he's just blessed with the type of gifts that only the good Lord can give.
Well, I think his size has a lot to do with it because he's taken, what, about 8 to 10 steps less?
The top-notch fastest 100-meter runners take 44 steps.
Right.
He's covering the same distance in 40.
Right, right. There
okay.
You go, 4 steps.
So uh-huh. his is about 4 steps.
10-foot strides.
And what Brian spoke to as well, the fact that he's 6'5", also it works to his detriment with respect to the start. And that's why he was such a dominant 200-meter sprinter prior to him becoming a dominant 100-meter sprinter. Because that takes a lot of energy, if you will, and space to unfold that that stature.
Yeah, because is he the last one standing up straight?
Generally will be the last to respond. And to take it a step further, you know, Brian mentioned the fact that he's 10 meters. Not even that. If you looked at the 100-meter race, he was in 6th or 7th place at the 50-meter mark.
Right.
And from 51 to 100,
he was out.
He went from 6th to 1st, and it was not even close. I have a lot of respect. What was also impressive is actually Johan Blake, because you're dealing with, that's his countryman, came in both, got both silver. B-Hop and Roland, I was very much impressed with his run as well, because he's of what we would call normal size and stature.
Right, right.
And yet he's still running, what did he run? He ran 1944, one of the top five fastest all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he also ran in 100, I want to say, let me see, Usain went 1963. He went in the 9.7s.
Mm-hmm. But he looked like he was working at it.
Yes.
He had to work at that number.
Well, you do. The little man, I know about the little man disease with the short legs. Man, we taking a whole lot. You only got 5'8 over here. So I'm taking a whole lot of steps.
You ain't no 5'8. You've been telling yourself that for years.
Well, you know, that's what they measure me at as 5'8. When the scouts come
for
in.
For the program.
Actually, in that program, I was 5'9.
I hate to hear what you've been telling your wife all these years.
But a little man has to take a lot more steps.
I think we, I've been very impressed with the talent the United States has sent over to London, on the track. We've got some real talent.
Well, we do. We have the world record holder in the decathlon. We swept in terms of 1-2.
Yeah.
We did extremely well in the jumps. Will Clay, I don't know if anyone, you might know that, obviously. He went to Mountain Point High School.
He sure did.
From Arizona.
Yeah.
We had, although only one medal we earned in the 400-meter hurdle women's final, all three made the final.
Right.
And they're still young.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we went to the 100 hurdle finals for women. All three made the final. 2-1 medals. In terms of girl power, folks, bow down to the women in these Olympics for the United States.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because the collection of medals that we can attribute to the women, far exceed what the men have done.
Mm-hmm. Our boys.
They definitely got it in front when it comes to total medal count. You got to be thankful for the women.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping us.
Well, I mean, that we can get into social things. You know, we're losing our boys. Our boys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Or our boys are baseball, football, basketball, and you know they're not into track or.
I'm not saying. I mean, America had guys in it, man. You just got to give it to Jamaica right now. Jamaica's just doing it, like,
and they peeling wigs. They peeling wigs, yeah. Brian.
Man, they knocking heads through white meat right now. Like,
and the sprints, they are getting it done, dog.
So I mean, I wouldn't say we're losing. I mean, we got guys there. We got the numbers are there. But right now, it's just Jamaica's time, man.
Do you honestly think, Brian and Dave, we're sending our best sprinters to the Olympics?
It remains to be seen. Here's the issue that I have.
Well, no, what I'm getting at. Go ahead.
This is what I'm saying. Brian can attest to this too. We lose a lot of our sprinters to football.
Okay, yeah.
We do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can rattle off quite a few of the sprinters that are coming out of high school. One of the top sprinters in the United States junior, Marvin Bracey, is going to Florida State on a football scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
That young man ran 10.06 as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you had Jeff Demps, who attempted to make a comeback. He did make the relay pool for the United States, but he went to the University of Florida on what, Brian? A football scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that, unfortunately, and I'm going to give a shout-out to a good friend of mine who is Jamaican, lives in the Seattle, Washington area, and I actually ran track with him in college, Kirk Dyer, has always stressed that the United States, it is ridiculous that we cannot build a program, even within the United States, that will allow our athletes to generate a comparable income that they can earn in Europe to run track and field.
Right.
Because what happens is they look at, it's just economics. Hey, I run 10.06, but they don't pay $2 million a year for me to run that.
Exactly.
Well, I can go over here. Right.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, it's simple economics. Or you can be a first-round draft pick in the NFL, and you can make the $2 million.
Set for life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of that, one of my dear friends, Michael Bates, great Olympian sprinter, but how did he earn a living? 11 years in the NFL. It wasn't going over to run in Europe. Why? Because he didn't have to. He could play football.
He could play here, yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. and earn a living there.
And there are quite a few guys here in the Phoenix area, and I'm sure spread out around the United States, that went over to Europe and made
right.
a good living. I've got a good friend, EJ. He ran over there.
Yeah,
made a good living.
My Mia's coach, her private coach, who worked with her these past couple of years, he had to do the exact same thing. Marcus Brunson, he works at Athletic Republic now. He mm-hmm. trains young athletes. And Brian and Roland, he had to go over to Europe to make a living.
Right.
At some point, man, why am I doing that if I can play football, basketball? The issue, I think, more so with men's sports, especially in the United States, we are losing our best athletes to professional sports such as baseball, basketball, and football. Have you ever looked at the soccer competitors, the men division, if you will? Have you ever looked at that?
No.
Generally, the reason why they're dominant is because their best athletes in Spain, in Brazil, and in all these other, they play soccer. Where do our best athletes, what do they play? They play basketball, they play football, mm-hmm. they play other sports.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't tend to send our best athletes.
Right.
And have them grow up in a program where they can develop in soccer. Yeah, they're good soccer players we have here, but they're not the best athletes that are playing soccer.
And it starts early.
And we're starting to close that gap, not as soccer's kind of... The thing is, what you're starting to see is that soccer is becoming bigger in the South, which we know where the speed and all that stuff is. You got men, young men, it's becoming big now. They're taking it serious. So in years to come, you're going to see the gap among other countries close because, you know, there's enough sports and everything to go around when it comes to the South and doing it. So that gap is going to close in the next 12 years. There's a difference that kids in the South filtering and play soccer more and a difference in speed when we go to the Olympics in the next few years.
Hey, you know what, Brian? You know, you're going to have kids playing soccer in the South because there are tryouts for soccer and some of these kids, tryouts for football, and some of these kids ain't going to make the football team.
Got to do something else, right? You know what? That's how I cut my teeth. I'll be honest. 7 years old. Very mm-hmm. first organized sport I played was soccer. And I know Brian can attest to this. It definitely helps balance, agility, quick feet. And you can see it transfer over. You have quite a few.
Look at Larry. Look at Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, soccer player, goalie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it definitely helps in terms of that developing, just like gymnastics that does as well.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of gymnastics, our men just disappointed me. They went from first on day one to fifth. So, looks
man.
Like that.
Good. I think they. Some Hungarian women over to our hotel, and we had no choice, and we got it in.
That was a Swedish team. But wait a minute.
They could laugh like the Buffalo Bills, dog.
Like, man, somebody sent some women over to them dudes' hotel. That's what happened. Had to.
Or perhaps they sent something else.
Staying out of that.
Keep it clean. We got a family show, right?
Yeah. I didn't. Yep. Chick-fil-A.
Very disappointed. But all in all, we have seen now that our Olympians, United States, has now surpassed China. And basically, China can hang it up because the only real events that are remaining are track and field. And we know who's going to be more dominant.
We're ahead by nine.
Yep. We were up 90-80. Did they want another one?
We were ahead by nine here a minute ago. Let's see here. What about Gabby? Is it Gabby Douglas?
Oh, yes, the first.
Why are they tripping on her hair?
That was crazy to me. Did you? I
mean, how come they're not tripping on somebody's track and field women's hair?
I guess they. I don't even want to go there with that.
Because she's doing gymnastics. They had to find something.
I don't know why somebody would even. I don't even know why somebody would even bring that up, whether it be to get a rise or whatever. But first of all, the girl is competing. And I think when she was winning her award, you just don't run out to a hair salon. And I think she put her hair in a style where she felt comfortable to compete. And that just, I don't know, man, for that to even be an issue. And then for them to even interview the girl and ask her about her home life before she did a floor event. I just thought it was in bad taste, a period, of the media and everybody. It was just bad taste. But the girl down there with class continued to do her thing.
You know what? You know how they treat us. And you know exactly what they think and what's on their mind. And
a lot of things that they bring to light that they try to create or state are stories are not stories. For instance, like Brian just spoke of, they're talking about, you know, her home life, her mother filing bankruptcy. Or even Ryan Lochte, who's, you know, let's be honest, white. They're talking about his mother being in foreclosure. Since when does that become a story?
Didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was front and center. USA Today.
They shouldn't attack him like that. They send doodles athletes like that.
You know, I think our media is, you know, break the news. The first story. What is the story? We're talking about it. We're talking about the foreclosure and the bankruptcy. You know, just as we're talking about, you know, Romney's false ad or Obama's false ad. You know, it's what we have as a public.
But the media is getting to a point. They got to stop taking their own personal emotions out of it.
Yeah.
And try to find a way to dig at a kid.
It's what sells. They want to sell.
I think somebody put a lot in these business out because it was a big Michael Phelps person. And you know, you can't let your favoritism towards someone start affecting other athletes. So I just really, right now, the people who are putting some of this stuff out, man, need to be kicked off of Facebook, need to be kicked off of Twitter, need to start working at some of these stations, man. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. And one day, they're going to have to stand before the mighty one and answer for some of the crap that they're doing. It's disgusting to me.
Just like Fox News, they need to stand before someone and answer. Pay the piper.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's take a break right now. Roll the music. Let's take a break, and we'll be back in 90. And when we come back, you know what it's going to be about.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Sports on the Voice of America Sports Radio Network.
You blew it, son. It's still the leader,
hey,
though,
you know
in that media.
You know what? You know, all summer long, we've been talking about no football. No football, football. We're sitting here, dead air silence, because we didn't have anything to talk about. But we got football now. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with where everybody else started. Let's go over to Soldier Field, Chicago, Illinois, where you had Denver Broncos play, Chicago Bears. We saw the return of Peyton Manning.
Let's talk about it.
B-Hop, give me your impressions if you saw the game. I know you saw at least highlights at a minimum.
Yeah, I did. One thing I say, Peyton Manning still has a good release.
Yep.
Has a good release. I'm a top person when it comes to preseason. You still kind of got to wait because they're going at it, but not going at it. And
right.
So I did like his release. I was impressed with Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Heard him a few times. So the biggest question right now, if I'm Chicago, if you're Chicago Bears, and what I saw is that will your running game be able to hold up through the season? I know everybody's high on having him back, and and back end, but will your running game hold up to allow you to compete for the division this year?
Hey, how long did they leave Peyton in? How long?
He only went three series, I think it was. Uh-huh. And I tend to agree with Brian. I like what I saw. You know, everybody's like, well, he's not throwing the 60 to 70 yard pass, but there again, I don't ever really believe that that was part of his game anyway for the past, at least, say, maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's more methodical in how
he was.
Was
he calling audibles or anything on
the
line?
He looked like the same Peyton Manning to me, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
He was 4-7. I think it was either 44 or 54 yards with an interception that candidly wasn't his fault. Brandon Stokley, hit the ball and put a hand on it, popped it up in the air, and mm-hmm. Major Wright, the safety for the Chicago Bears, made a great play on the ball. But all in all, I thought the touch was there, Brian. I thought that, you know, there were sloppy, rainy conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And let's bear in mind, he hasn't played in almost 2 years.
And they played in Chicago.
And they played in Chicago. Uh-huh. So I think I observed what I expected to see for a first game. It was nothing that made me say that, Peyton Manning is a, you know,
Super Bowl champs.
A shell of himself.
Right.
Nobody
uh-huh.
saw that is what I'm saying. So I was fairly impressed with what's going on, what he did, and I think it's moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Is Denver going to be better than the 8-8 record? You know, that remains to be seen. I think they have a difficult schedule this year, so it may be the same in terms of the outcome of 8-8.
How did the rest of the team look? The front line, the old line, how did they look? I mean, were they giving him time to get the ball off? Or
Brian, go ahead.
He gets rid of the ball so fast.
Right.
But that's kind of deceptive. Like I said, it's still preseason. It's still a preseason role because, you know, they're going to come off the ball and they're going to get after him, but then they're going to get after him, you know,
because
even the emotions of the fans stuff aren't there like it should that as a regular season game. So
uh-huh.
I try not to question, this is just me, during preseason, I try not to question too much of offensive line play unless it's just something that's obvious and looks really, really bad.
Right.
Right.
Now, Brian, did you go to Ohio over the weekend? Did you go to Cleveland to the game?
No, I didn't. I didn't go up to Canton. I didn't go up to Canton because Roman said, why go up there? It's the Cardinals, and we're going to.
Huh?
That band, man. We might have to block you.
You're finna get deleted, my friend.
I'll just go by what he said.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I wanted to go. Rome was like, man, I'm playing a few seasons. The Cardinals are gonna smash and don't go. That's all I got. And so that's all I got. But I did watch him last night. And, man, my biggest concern to me, if I'm a Patriots fan, and like I just got through talking about, if I'm a Patriots fan, I am concerned in front because they had a lot of holding calls
mm-hmm.
last night that you just don't see. So,
and they got Brady's head peeled a couple of times on those
two
series. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got
caught him.
Will Smith called him
well,
one time.
Let's go back to the Sunday game and the Cardinals and Cobb and Skelton. And what do you think the Cardinals should do? Brian, I'll ask you this. What do you think the Cardinals should do as far as a quarterback? You have the floor.
Toss the season and get Matt Barkley. But
say that again.
He said get Matt Barkley. He tried to run that together real fast. Toss the season and get Matt Barkley.
But if I'm coaching, man, I'd have to play Skelton. But the money says play Cobb. The money says play Cobb. But man, if I'm saying to save my job, I'm playing Skelton.
Well, wouldn't you think there's another quarterback out there on the market?
No.
No.
No. Not no. on the market. No.
Coyle, Croyle, Brady Croyle, Brody Croyle, what have
it's
you?
It's the right reason why Brody Croyle didn't do anything with the Chiefs and he didn't do anything when we brought him here.
Well, we just brought him in for the one game, so Cobb wouldn't have to play.
So if he was all that impressive, why would we not have continued to even pursue?
Brody has the answer, but it's just the beta stand up to the punishment and the quick decision making. That's kind of haunted him a little bit,
mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it's a system, but, you know, so no, definitely.
So there's absolutely no one out there.
No, I don't think at this juncture that can resurrect what's going on here or step right
in. He's out there, but he's in California, mm-hmm. and he's just not eligible to come to the NFL yet.
So you are that high on Matt Barkley?
Yeah, I talked to season get Matt Barkley.
Okay, well, that's a lot to be said for that because there are a number of scouts that said, though, behind Andrew Luck, he would have been two, not Robert Griffin.
Really?
Yeah. Quite a few have said that that would have
tell
been
us, tell us who he is.
Oh, tell who?
Barkley.
Matt Barkley is obviously the starting quarterback for the USC Trojans.
Okay.
Now, well, they might not have depth. Their starting 22 is as good as you're going to see in the country this year. And they can compete. In
how
my
did
they,
opinion, how did, yeah, now I'm going to switch gears here. How did USC get through these few years with the sanctions? And with that, do you think Penn State will come out of it?
Can I speak to that first?
And I'll go right ahead. Be my guest.
One, this is USC. And that actually means something when someone says we are SC. First,
you're right.
It's a very good school, very rich tradition, very good football school. Two, Lane Kiffin was a manipulator of the rules. He knew when certain sanctions would come in to play. So he obviated or lessened the blow by handing out a certain number of scholarships that could be handed out, if you will, that allowed the expansion of his recruiting field. Normally you have between 22 to 25. He was able to bring in, before the sanctions kicked in, two classes where there may have been 28 or 29 kids. So what that allowed him to do is kind of lessen the blow or the impact of not being able to have deep recruiting classes.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed him also to kind of waver or weather the storm, okay, mm-hmm. by getting all those kids in and also getting them playing time.
Right.
Okay. So that is another reason why it helped him do that. And then the quality of the recruit that he was able to bring into USC. And the sanctions that they received, Brian, were not as bad and detrimental to the program as the ones that Penn State received.
That's a step up from that SMU.
Yeah. They essentially gave them, like, we've been laughing, life without parole is what they gave them.
Yeah.
Rather than the death penalty, they gave them that. Penn State is a different kind of animal. One, it's in Penn State, State College or Pennsylvania, okay? That's not a hotbed, whereas SC also can recruit from within. Penn
right.
State generally goes outside
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't have the four corners of their state because they don't have the caliber of kid or talent, the depth, to allow them to build from within. That's the first problem, okay? The second problem is nationally. They didn't recruit nationally anyway. They were pooling from, you know, Ohio
right.
and some of these other areas.
York.
Yeah.
York, New Jersey, the New England area.
Okay.
That's where they will pull from. And, you know, and occasionally, you know, they'll pull somebody from the Carolina. So it's definitely not when you're recruiting a top kid from across the country and bring him out to California and show this kid the Rose Bowl in L.A., man, it's so much easier to recruit, man, to send in California than State College, Pennsylvania. It's unreal.
What do you think about these coaches recruiting from Penn State, just picking them clean?
All is fair in love and war, baby.
Huh? Just pick them clean.
Woo! Put it this way. If Silas Red say, hey, I want to come play for the South Alabama Jaguars, I don't think you'll be chuckling. Oh, no, we respect Penn State.
But even be close. Hey, we like, here, son, try this on. See how that feels. Hey, you don't like it? You don't like an extra large to me. Let's go with it.
That financial aid package would be executed immediately.
I would show him that he looks so good in red, white, and blue. And he would in a star spangled banner to him.
I see nothing wrong with them being other coaches coming in and being able.
How
to
many have
him.
They lost? How many kids have
they have lost out of their recruiting class of 14? They have lost, I want to say, 9.
Okay.
Yeah, they're down to like mm-hmm. 5. And in addition to that, they're losing quality depth with the younger student, if you will. Silas Red was mm-hmm. a sophomore. The defensive back that left and now is going to Marshall. They had another defensive lineman leave. They had a linebacker go to NC State. They lost a kicker to Texas. They lost, all of those are quality depth positions for mm-hmm. them that were young talent.
Did Lane Kiffin find anything over
Lane Kiffin got Silas Red, their number one player, went over to SC. Okay.
Good for him.
Now, I respect the kids saying that, hey, we're staying. Well, let's be honest. Okay. The kids that are talking about they're staying, they're either juniors or seniors that are starting that can't go and start anywhere else. Brian?
The kids they're talking about are either juniors or seniors that can't go anywhere else because they're already locked in. Or junior that's probably not going to go anywhere else and be able to play. Those are kids that are staying. But anybody that's highly touted, that's a freshman or been raised as a freshman, believe you me, they are looking for a way out. And if they haven't left yet, believe you me, they are leaving. It's just a matter of making the right phone call
right.
and finding the right spot and having mom and dad work through this Christmas season to get some money so they can transfer. That's the only thing that's – and you'll see some more kids leave Penn State, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're going to see that. Because
how long is it open? How long
right,
can they leave?
It's open recruiting. Brian, I think it's – it's at least through this season.
Through the season.
I think, yeah, you can leave. They can let you get a snapshot of taking a look at this and being like, ah, bro, I don't want to be part of this. Because right. I they may be able to be okay this year. Mm-hmm. Okay. But with those sanctions, they essentially have now made Penn State Western Michigan. Because you're not going to get me a top four or five star recruit to come in and play against Ohio State, knowing that the people in my recruiting class
right.
are not a, what one
so
or
what
two
about,
star
So what about
recruits.
The division? Do they stay Division One?
Well, of course they do. They're still part of the Big Ten.
Fun, but that trust me, with what they hit them with, I'm sorry, Dave, what they hit them with, man, they probably wouldn't mind dropping down to 1AA.
Yeah, I know.
Some kids are going to get hurt.
Yeah, it's just not going to be a competitive product over the long haul. And
so in college, if a team gets ahead by 40 points, do they quit playing?
Well, obviously Notre Dame didn't when they did that. They peeled SMU's head back, and then when Houston rang up 70-plus on SMU.
Right.
So, you know, calling off the dogs, what are you going to tell your kids? Run out of bounds? I mean, Brian, have you ever instructed your kid not to intercept the ball?
You're darn sure right. No, it's not going to happen.
it's just not going to happen. You know,
put it this way. Put the give Roe an understanding. Roe, we're in our fourth year of our recruiting class. Mm-hmm. And if things, and even in our fourth year, you know, we and from a recruiting standpoint, we've outdone Mississippi State, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Southern Miss, guys like that.
Okay.
Like a long story short, in 4 years, with the trend that Penn State is on, you could send us up, and in 4 years, we'll only be an 8 or 9 year old program. But with what we got and what we got coming down here in the South, I promise you, you're just saying Penn State down here. They'd be in a ball game. We probably could beat them.
I think you could beat them.
Oh, yeah.
Penn State walked into your stadium. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because to me, that's leveling the playing field even more so by having, don't let them go to Happy Valley. Bring them down there to South Alabama and let them play head to head. South Alabama can play with Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can play with Penn State. No question they can. And Penn State will not have the advantage in terms of depth because, first of all, when you travel, you can't travel with your entire roster. They limit how many you can travel with. See?
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then the quality of that player, not saying it's a bad player, it's just not the quality Penn State player that they used to get.
Exactly.
So that playing field is definitely leveled off, and I agree with Brian. You give them more a run for their money and probably be able to beat them.
You might be able to beat them on their home turf. Hey, let's go to break, guys. Roll the music there. We'll be back in 90 here on Planet Gridiron Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Gridiron Radio on Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media. Before we went to break, we were talking about Penn State sanctions, USC. Let's kind of continue on that. Unless you got something else you want to pick up on, Brian or Dave.
No, I mean Penn State.
No, I think
our little off-air conversation got me.
got you a little shook up. I think the last bit of information.
Yeah,
that's one of them. The Florida Evans. Damn.
Exactly.
Beyond, that's one of those kind of issues for my boy.
Oh man, trust me, man. You know, trust me. When you make those trips the way I was doing, I was like, "Dang, are you getting thicker? Are you okay?"
Oh my goodness! Man. Okay, guys. All right. On a much lighter note and a happier note.
Right.
Who you got in the Super Bowl this year? I know it's early, but tell me who you got.
I'm gonna kick it to Brian because I got to think about this.
You want me to say?
Yeah, set it out.
Who you got? Who you got?
All right. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go ahead and jump out and say I'm going to sit there and say Saints representing the NFC.
No, don't be a homer. Don't be a homer. Give us real.
No, because he's gonna tell us why.
Saints. I think if we get Jonathan Vilma back, pencil us in. Real talk. I'm not joking.
He ain't coming back. But anyway.
Okay.
You better start watching news a little bit more. Let's start watching a little bit more. So,
Sports Center.
So Vilma.
Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Yeah. You better start watching.
Can we do that on here?
Vilma probably back.
Yeah, I got you.
And then, out of the AFC, man, as crazy it may sound to me, man, I am really liking what the, believe it or not, the Bills are doing. And of course, you'll never be able to count out the Patriots, but man, it is definitely something about the Bills, and it's crazy enough for me. So, and either the Bills or the Broncos, I'll look at them.
Whoa! Now here's
they're really fine.
I'm gonna work. Let's work backwards on this one. Tell me why you're selecting potentially the Bills and the Broncos.
With the Bills, man, I saw something in Fitzpatrick. He had that little misses and stuff, but then toward the last part of the season, man. I saw something in him. They're really throwing the ball around the defense. And then now this year is going to have a healthy run game and the defense is going to be unreal. I would say the San Diego Chargers because their front six that they got is new, but I just don't know if Phillip Rivers is just a winner. And so I just don't know about that. But then of course you look at the Broncos. Their defense is very good. I think, if they win the division, having home field advantage coming in a Mile High, I don't know if anybody can go in there. I don't know if Baltimore can go in there. I don't know if the Steelers can go in there and win that. I just don't know if they can. So that is why I was saying those teams. You give me a winner game in Buffalo or in Denver, and I'm taking those picks all the time.
All right, Ro, you want to jump in? You want me to swing?
Well, you know, I'll jump in here, but to be honest with you, AFC, NFC, I have no idea. I don't know who can play and who can't play.
Okay. Well, let me just slide in if that's
you go right ahead.
I'm going to jump the bandwagon.
Isn't that a shame my 5-year-old knows? I don't.
In the NFC, I think the Saints are going to be better than maybe a lot of people give themselves credit because one, for the most part, the team is still intact, and they're led by Drew Brees, and they have a number of veterans to include Robin Harper on the defense.
Okay.
So I think they're going to be at least in the discussion for potentially being representing the NFC. I'm going to play the role and agree with the prognosticators. I do think Green Bay will be the team to beat because I think they've done enough, Brian, on defense through the draft and perhaps even in a little bit of infusion with free agency to try to close the gap with some of the problems that they had on defense. That being
that's my point.
Yep,
I'll take my chance. If you're talking to us as a top two, I'll take my chance. You're talking to us in Green Bay, but go ahead.
Exactly. I'm thinking it's the defense that they need to shore up. And candidly, it took a hit because when they were carting off Bishop last night, that Desmond Bishop, that did not look good. And he's one of the persons that they are counting on.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can shore up the front seven, because see, the back end, in my opinion, is decent enough. You got Charles Woodson, and we got 3 minutes to close, so let me wrap this up. You have Charles Woodson, and you have, the infusion of Nick Perry to take some of the pressure off of Clay Matthews. I think they could close the gap. Outside chance I'm going to give to San Francisco because I think they're doing enough on offense, potentially. But they're going to be able to play defensively. On the AFC side, in closing, you always have to give consideration, obviously, to the Patriots. I kind of agree with you, Ryan. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to
like
turn
them.
The corner
like
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they do enough now on defense. They have developed.
Atlanta
is an also ran when it comes to the playoffs. They're great during the season,
mm-hmm.
but they're awful in the postseason.
Okay.
And I don't think they've necessarily done enough, in my mind, to shore up that. They've tried to address the issues with the infusion of Asante Samuel. You also are trying to infuse other running backs into the game to take all that pressure off of Michael Turner. But to me, we've already seen this kind of dog and pony show with them. I'm not saying they can't be there. It wouldn't be shocking that they made it there. I just don't see them there.
Tennessee, Jacksonville?
No, I don't think they have a chance.
Not even in the conversation.
I think it's going to be definitely Buffalo.
Okay.
Is going to be one of the teams. Clearly, you always have to think about the Patriots. And then I'm going to stick with those. Those are the ones that I see.
I mean,
right
and
now.
You're not married to these decisions. It's just what you think
right now.
You know, and we'll probably move this as preseason goes. Once the season starts, you're going to marry your decision. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it here on Planet Gridiron Sports on Voice America Radio, the leader in internet media. I have my back to the sign. I should have it memorized. Anyway, thank you all for joining us today. We'll see you next week right here on Planet Gridiron Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.